The Net Worth Institute.
Welcome to this month's lesson. So, you know, obviously when we think about different topics and you think about your net worth, I mean, it's funny that sort of what gets attention is what's in front of you, right? So, for instance, just today I opened up some mail and the state of California sends me this thing that says you owe us $1,400 and you have 15 days to pay it. And if not, we're going to garnish and levy something. And I'm just like, and they really didn't even say what it was for. I found it absolutely fascinating. And I got one from the state of Michigan the other day for $26,000, doesn't say what it's for. And you call them and you can't get anyone on the phone. And I mean, you just kind of go like, what on earth is this, right? Like it's the taxation power that they can send you a bill and not even explain it and then threaten you and can't answer the phone, can't have a conversation. The state of Georgia miscredited something. I've called five times. It's 40 minutes on the phone each time. And the lady promises me she's going to talk to her supervisor and call me the next day. And so I want to, and I know you probably have similar things like this. And so we got to step back and we got to sort of say to ourselves, you know, this stuff's coming at us all the time, right? And basically it's, you know, you go to, a counter these days to buy something and they turn that thing around and they expect you to give a tip. And you're like, you're buying an $8 cup of coffee and they want you to add another 20% on it. I mean, this just sort of is coming at us every day, right? So remember that trying to hold the money is the challenge, right? Trying to get it, to bank it, to not touch it, and to not let somebody send you a notice that you need to pay them, right? It's sort of crazy. And so today I want to talk about what I think I just want to draw and shift your attention. And I want to talk about this issue of, and the focus that you have on the most important, the most valuable asset that you own. And, you know, it's funny. So for instance, I found this interesting. I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal and they were talking about how wealthy people were turning their houses into wellness centers, right? So I was like, oh, it's interesting. So I've been teaching that concept for years and I've done that, and I think it's a really good decision, but it was like it's sort of come into favor, if you would. And they were saying that, you know, people in the old days, you put somebody in an old people's home pretty quickly, and today people are designing homes to age in place because they have a few more resources, and so they could afford to have somebody come in and take care of them in an environment. That made a lot of sense to me, right? So one of the reasons why you want to have a high net worth is to be able to do the things you want to do. But today I want to talk about some pivoting as it pertains to the value of your organization. And I wanted to talk just to maybe get it on your radar, to get you to think about it, and to figure out where the pivot needs to be. And I know recently I've been going through a process of, you know, establishing some new goals for the business. And as a part of that, it became very, very apparent to me that I needed to make a pivot. And something that I've been fighting for years and years, I needed to let go and I needed to open my mind up to it. And it was this issue of selling practices. And so I've spent the last 6 months really trying to understand the market, really trying to figure out what's happening, talking to customers that had sold their practice, having calls with the large DSO organizations, the people that buy practices. And so it's been sort of fascinating. But what I want to share with you, and so you're going to see me make a pivot. And that pivot is going to be, and what I realized that what I was wrong about was that I need to extend my business to what my customer really wants. And it hit me clear as day that what I need to do is I need to take customers, and this is going to kind of work like this, right? It's build, scale, exit, right? That's going to be the subtext under my company name. So build it, scale it, exit. And so I'm going to need, and we're going to start doing this, is to just finish the job. Because if you think about it, if you added to it, let's say I met a person at 40 and I said, hey, I'm going to take you to the finish line, right? So a lot of people, I grow their practices, they sell it for a bunch of money, but they actually, when they go to sell it, they go directly to somebody, either a broker or to somebody, and they don't always get top dollar for it, right? So I was like, okay, so it's a pivot, right? And so the pivot I'm thinking about, what I want you to think about is, what's the pivot for you? And number one, look, you're gonna exit someday. And so what I want to get you thinking about is, have you become complacent with making your business more valuable? And what I realized about myself was that my sort of closing that area off and saying, I don't want to participate in that area, I'm going to stay out of it. I mean, look, I think it was probably the right thing to do at the time, but today the market is different. And so I'm looking at it going, oh, now I have a better sense. I mean, you have a lot of problems in DSOs that they really, really don't know how to manage and run practices, which is fascinating. And a lot of them will admit that to you. But so let's get back to you. So the question is today is, how active are you in, one, most of you that listen to this should not be at the build it phase of your business. You should be at the scale it phase. And so the greatest thing you can do to increase your net worth is to scale your business. Because as I've been thinking through this and studying it, you don't make a lot of money in the build it phase. You spend every dollar you make. So like, and if you think about a practice that's doing, you know, a new practice is getting up to like 1.5 million or whatever, most people are not, you know, banking a lot of money there. And then scaling requires capital investments, but scaling is where you have the best chance to make the most money if you're paying attention, and is also where you can deleverage. And then you plan for your exit, right? And I started thinking about this, you know, obviously for you guys and for most of my clients, the biggest chunk of their net worth, the percentage, is tied up in the practice. And it's obviously, if you're auto saving, like I've taught you, you have some diversity. But I wanted to talk today about you. The question is this, is how much attention are you putting on scaling the business, making the right decisions, which again is you doing less, and then ultimately positioning yourself for an exit at some point. And I think, and understanding, and one of the things you're going to see is you're going to see a total pivot in my business to all coaching against the value. So one of the things that I've been working on is having a financial read, and we'll talk about this, right? That, so for instance, if somebody goes into 5X, we can take and we can pull their numbers and give it a value, an enterprise value, and then two years later, we can give another enterprise value. And so the idea of how much can you make your business worth more in a two-year period of time? And one of the things I realized is that's the game I've been playing, but I really haven't been forcing the clients to play that game. So, you know, some of you may have gotten appraisals and whatnot, but the truth is I've never forced everybody to do this. And so I'm sharing this with you early because I'm going to be kicking this in, and I think it's going to be tremendous for people. But I'm particularly interested in anyone who's trying to have a high net worth to have a read on what that value is of the business. Because what you don't want to do, like what you basically have happening in the marketplace now, is that, you know, people just think it's worth something and then they go to the buyer and have the buyer evaluate it. I mean, like you, and this is what I realized. It finally hit me. I was like, I can't let people do that. That is a terrible, terrible, terrible decision. And in all my interviews with people who buy practices, what they want is they want something different and they're not getting it. Meaning that they don't want what the broker prepares. They want to see a certain thing, which I figured out, which I'm going to help people do, right? Which is like, okay, so to actually know those numbers in advance and not to tell the client to do it anymore, because when I tell them to do it, they don't know how to do it, actually just to do it. So the big pivot that I'd make, and as I've thought about this, this makes my business way more valuable. So again, let's go back to you. So today, what is it that you're avoiding in your business that probably would drive the value of your business up dramatically, but you've created a barrier, you know, and it's really a mental barrier. So again, I'm sharing that story because in a way, that was a barrier I created. And even to the point where clients thought I didn't want them to sell the practice. That's not true. I just don't want you to let the person that's going to buy it walk in and evaluate it and tell you the price, because that just doesn't make any sense. So what is it for you, right? So today, is the single greatest decision you need to make that you need to build a leadership team? Because if somebody's going to buy your practice, you're going to leadership team. Is the single, do you need to put 7 more ops in that building? Like, do you have capacity that doesn't exist? Do you need to go buy another practice, right? What is it that you've mentally blocked? But if you were to apply you put on some glasses and the glasses are, okay, your main objective, you know, if you're going to work for 10 more years or 7 more years or whatever it is, the biggest impact you can have on your net worth is to make your practice more valuable. And are you waking up every day thinking that way? And this is the purpose of this lesson, right? Is to go, no, you're not. You've created a barrier. You're sitting out on something. You've decided you're too old. You've decided it's going to cost you too much money. You've decided whatever. And so what is it, right? What is holding you back? And in the last year, do you have any idea what your business is worth? And again, I can help you with this, but I'm not saying you should rush out and ask someone to evaluate your business, but I'm saying, and then do you know what the major things are that you've got to look at that you're avoiding? So for instance, it's funny, like when you look at some basic things, like, so when you look at business valuations, right? You look at a business that is not totally dependent on one person. So again, psychologically, most people want to make things dependent on themselves. But so if you imagine the emotional, like you may be going through this emotional turmoil right now that you need the affirmation of being involved in your business, but you know that your valuation would go up if you were less involved. So which master are you serving at this particular time? And do you have a financial calculator on it? So is a little bit more income next year what you need? Or is it that you need to try to make the business worth $2 million more over the next 2 years? And where is your focus? Like, it's interesting that in talking to some of the largest buyers of practices, they're saying that, you know, if 100 practices submit to be purchased, they're only buying less than 20% of them. And that the other ones are just not financially viable enough even to purchase, which is part of the reason I'm going to make the pivot, because I think I can serve that customer quite well, customer who wants to sell but who doesn't know. So the pivot is to go and just embrace this fully. And by the way, I also think that for every practice owner I help sell their practice for maximum value, I'm going to get 4 or 5 back from these companies because they want to buy practices like we build. So it actually has this powerful return mechanism that comes back. So again, go back to you. What is it that you're hesitating on? And are you doing, is your focus on making your business more valuable? Do you have the 6 or 7 things, and is that dominant in your decision making, right? You know, are you putting systems together? Are you tracking the total number of days that you're out of the office so the buyer can see that you're not there? Do you have a leadership team in place? Is there a number 2 for some of those leaders that's being developed in the team? You know, do you have a guidebook or written processes, right? I mean, these are all things somebody's going to want to look at. Are you top in class? So are you the number 1 practice in your town? These are all important things, right? Do you have a marketing system that's there? Do you have some flowcharts describing, right? Do you have scorecards? Do you have metrics? I mean, these are all important things. And what I'm noticing is a lot of people are so focused on, you know, the insurance company cutting their bill. Again, this is the same thing, the tax statement, that's the insurance company cutting your bill, right? If that happened to you this week, you get mad at them. What do you get out of that? Nothing. You got to just figure out how to play the game differently. So the question for you is, if I put a monitor on you for the last 12 months and we made a pie chart of, you know, okay, are you focused on cash and investments? Are you focused on real estate? Or are you focused on your practice, right? Think of it like a pie chart, and you go, man, or you're not focused on any of it, right? So like I think about, if I thought about the last year, I've made some real estate moves, right? I've been working on my investments, right? And now just very locked into the what's the practice worth, right? And so, but if you don't make a pivot, the clock's burning, right? So when you look at your intentional efforts to increase your net worth, hands down, the easiest thing for you to do is to make your business more valuable. The hardest thing to do is to keep your mind open and not let some of these specific things trip you up, like the tax bill. See, what I'm saying to you is, and I won't give you specific numbers, but like one of the things that happened to me in the last 12 months, I was like, my God, could I possibly pay any more taxes? I'll be honest, it's like it's distracting. It's like, this is just exhausting, right? I go, and so, but that's not good. You got to master that thing and you got to go, hey, what's the thing you should be doing? What's the most important thing you should be doing? Oh, I know, making your clients make their business more valuable and make yours more valuable. And if I look at my life and I say, what is the single greatest contribution I can make? that's it. I mean, I can do some other stuff, obviously, but when I think about my business, okay, if I'm going to spend my time talking about how to get a team member to show up, is that going to be the most important thing? No. If I spend my entire life trying to answer the question, should you take insurance or should you not take insurance, and how everyone should get advice on that? No, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing for me to tell you to do is to raise the importance of valuing the business, because someday there's going to be an exit. And I want you to think of it differently. So I've been thinking about this in like a visual format. And that visual format, and, you know, let's think about it more like a train. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's sort of this, when you look at build, scale, exit, okay, most of you are scaling your business. And then when you think about scaling and exit, there's some overlap. So for instance, you know, deleveraging and investing. So it's like, oh, I got both, do both of those. CapEx expenses and deleveraging, all right? And the only thing that's going to make that viable is studying what the practice is worth. And because otherwise, I'm going to get down to something else that's going to be less important taking my attention. And so when you think about this, right, I mean, this is the reason why, you know, like if you thought about the last 10 years of your practice life, like, and maybe this is what I'm trying to say to you, is that wherever you are in age, right, I want to make it clear to you, number one, someday you're going to sell your practice. I mean, you're going to sell it to a family member, you're going to sell it to an associate, you're going to sell it to somebody. And there's going to be a day where you can't treat patients anymore. And I mean, or you could just keep it until you die, and then you got to, you know, but I can tell you what happens when that happens is not fun, is when I got to deal with your spouse who's trying to figure out what to do with the practice. That's not a happy day. You know, nobody goes, oh God, thank God they left me this practice to sell. That's totally the opposite of what occurs. So if you now, and we're talking about your net worth, right? So I'm saying to you, yes, would it have been a good idea for you to buy some SpaceX stock and then flip it? The answer is yes. Did you? Maybe, maybe not. So is today the day that you should lock down and spend the rest of your career making your business more valuable? And just thinking about, I was thinking about this, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been on a bus, right? But I remember as a kid, I lived in this town, they had buses. And you rang this little bell if you wanted the bus driver to stop at the stop. But the worst thing that could happen is you'd miss your stop. And then they don't, if you ring the bell, they're like, stop at the next stop. So you have to walk 2 miles or whatever, right? So what I want you to think about is this, is I don't need you today to decide the day, the moment you're going to exit. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying, as far as net worth is concerned, is when is the moment you kick into gear? Because think of it like a bus stop. You don't control when you're going to want to get off the bus, right? I mean, it could be age related. It could be, and by the way, you want to know what some of the biggest DSOs told me, which I think is so interesting. I said, what's causing people to sell? You want to know what they said? This is really disturbing. Divorce. They said, divorce is why we get a lot of practices. And I was like, man, that is crazy. So that isn't that they're prepared. That isn't that they're, so, I mean, when I think about that, it's just like, wow, that's nuts. I mean, it makes sense. So go back to you. So the purpose of this message is a wake-up call. It's kind of like if you were a Christian and you believe certain things and you thought someone was going to die, you know, and you thought, oh man, I got to get them to, accept this as the truth before they die. I'm just trying to, that's not what I'm doing to you today, right? Okay. I'm just trying to say to you that, hey, if we go back and look at this monitor or this pie chart and think about my story. What's causing me not to? So again, if I say, well, I don't want to sell it, that's a blind spot. You don't have to sell it. That's not what I'm saying. But just because you don't want to sell it doesn't mean you shouldn't know what it's worth and you shouldn't be spending all your energy to try to make it worth more, because maybe someday you're going to need to get off that bus for whatever reason, hopefully not the one I just described, and you're just going to get off the bus. But what I want you to do is I want you to be ready. It's kind of like with houses, right? I always treat a house. I could sell any of my properties tomorrow. I wouldn't even, like, what it would take me to clean it up to sell is nothing. I mean, it's ready because I keep everything ready, because I always go, you know what? Someday, if you want to sell something, you don't want to have to do a bunch of deferred maintenance on. Like, you just want to sell it. Just put it up for sale and sell it. And again, it's the same type of thing. It doesn't mean you're going to do it. Like, I don't want to sell my house. I like my house. I don't want to move. But I can tell you this, whatever the day is that I have to sell it, pretty much is all I got to do is put a sign in the yard. So funny. Put a sign in the yard and it will sell. And I'll be ready. And there won't be a lot of prep work. And so again, apply that back to your biggest asset, which is the value of your business. And look, I have personally found this to be a very hard thing. And this is why I think we have to make this pivot. And the pivot is not, I'm not asking you to sell your business. I'm not saying you should sell it in this certain window, but I'm saying what you should do is we should increase the amount of time we're concentrating on this and increasing the amount of focus on it. And letting that be the measurement, not temporary cash flow issues, which is what I see everybody talking about. I mean, it is like, oh. And what I find so funny is that usually their cash flow issues are about the fact that they're funding the growth of their business out of cash flows, not debt. And, oh, by the way, their living expenses have gone up. And oh, by the way, you're paying off a lot of debt. And I mean, if I could tell you the number of people that are doing exactly what they should be doing, but they figure out how to complain, moan, and whine about it, it's incredible. So, but what they're missing, right? What they're missing is, and this is what we want to add, is to say, here's a valuation tool. It's not from the person who's buying your practice, but it's based on the logic they're going to use. And then this invitation to say, okay, if I'm going to have a hobby of net worth, then yes, I should learn to buy some stocks or, you know, monitor my financial advisor to make sure I'm getting an appropriate return. Yeah, all that's easy. And yes, I should buy good quality real estate and take care of it and build an office portfolio, reduce my debts, great. But what's the granddaddy of all of these is that I need to make that the enterprise value of my business higher and higher and higher. And to know that someday when the day comes for me to get off that bus, that I'm as prepared as I can possibly be. And trust me, having your homes paid off, all the advice I've given you over the years is designed to do that, right? So having a paid off home is incredibly advantageous because when you sell your business, you don't have to take the money and pay off your house. Having money in the bank is very advantageous because you can ride out a downturn. You can sell it when it's convenient for you. You don't have to have the money. And so again, I mean, think about this. Think about what I just told you. The number one reason people are selling their practice is divorce. So what that means is they're splitting the money with a spouse and then their hands are tied and starting over. That's not a, like, that is the last thing I would ever tell anyone to do as far as trying to keep a high net worth. It's literally like I go, that's how you could just chop your net worth in half. So what specifically have you closed your mind to? So again, go back on what I said. I don't want to sell their practices. I'm going to help sell them. Think about that. That's a big shift. Why? Because it's good for them. Am I going to continue to give advice on money to make sure they try to sell it at the right time? Yes. But do I control when they sell it? No. I don't control when they want to get off the bus. Like, that's the whole point, right? Is like, you gotta wait till the next stop. But the question is, and look, I think for you, so here's my invitation. I gotta steer you in a direction that is going to have the largest impact on your net worth. So what I believe that is the profit, the EBITDA that is kicked out of your business, and the valuation factors, and not getting caught up in, which might mean you have to put more capital in your business. It might mean you have to put some more debt in your business. It might mean that you have to build a new building. Again, all these things, but are you actually making limits, right? And this is what I want you to be aware of. I want you to make a list. What are the things that you have called territory I'm not going to enter? You know, maybe you have something you say, well, I'm never going to sell the private equity. Well, maybe that's not a good decision for you. Maybe you should. You know, I'm never going to do this. I'm, you know. So what I want you to think about is if we shift some attention, and by the way, not stupidly, you don't get off this lesson and go, oh, I'm going to call Heartland and have them evaluate my practice. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going through, and I'm going to be doing this with you, but like going through the process and committing your time, attention, effort to say, and also to give access to do it. Like one of the problems I have is I don't have, like I coach clients on money and they don't show me their money. I'm like, this is ridiculous sometimes. You know, it's like, show me your financials, right? It's like they say they have a cash flow problem, but they don't want to show me their financials. Well, there's a reason for that because the financials would tell what the issue is. So what if today was the day that you opened up your mind and you started to make decisions that were based upon, and by the way, I've been coaching you on this for years without you really knowing it, right? So when you think about bringing in associate doctors and you being in the practice less, that is 100% about making the business less about the owner, which increases the value and makes it more sellable at a higher figure. Having a team, a trained team with processes and procedures, my God. Oh, I have a marketing person, right? You understand how valuable all these things are, but you've got to equate it to a number. So the invitation is, hey, like every 2 years, we want to check in and we want to know how much we made the business go up. I mean, and again, I have clients that this is what they do, right? We make their business more valuable and then they wander off and call and literally have the person who's going to buy it evaluate it, and then they sell it. And I'm just like, my God, you're just like, you got to be kidding me. See the difference? So the difference is if we were going along, and this is what I want you to understand as part of my commitment is I've been avoiding this because, I don't know, I just thought I didn't want to be in that space. But what I realized is, no, I need to be in that space. I need to be in the space of giving you the tools to have a viable number about what your practice is worth, and then to learn to teach you not to take the money and run the day you see its value, But to figure out over every 2 year period of time or whatever it is, how much you can make, like think about that. If you took the last 10 years of your practice life and made your practice go up the value go up $1 million, right? That would have a dramatic impact on that sale, which would have a dramatic impact on your net worth and what your lifestyle is like. But you got to put a little bit of that time in there. So that's the pivot I'm going to make. And in this lesson, what I want you to do is just, I want it to kind of be your wake-up call. Here's what you don't do. You don't just go and say, oh, this is a great idea, Jay. I'm going to go have my business evaluated by someone who wants to buy it. That would literally be like not taking care of your house, inviting a buyer in when it looks terrible, or taking a car full of a bunch of crap with all the check engine lights on and going and trading it in with the check engine lights on. I mean, you know that if I was buying a car at a car dealership and the check engine light was on, I mean, I'm whacking you like no one's business on the value of your car. I'm not going to give you top dollar for it. So certainty, knowing what they're, this is kind of like when I was trying to teach people how to get a loan. Is all, if you know what the bank wants, you can just walk in and get as much money as you want because you know what they want. So we're going to do the same thing here. We're going to pin down what they want. We're going to have a measurement for it, and you pivot your attention to now scoring. See, even when I show revenue, it's so funny. Like the revenue pins, the problem with the revenue pins is the guy or gal goes up in revenue, but they're like, I'm not making as much as I think I should be. But they're paying off $500,000 of debt every year, which they just don't want to include, right? And so again, mentally, you get a different construct. So like, this is a wake-up call, right? It's just a simple wake-up call. Like, wait a minute. Don't do this. Here's what we got to do. And again, it's like a commitment. So the last, like, finishing well would be to spend however many years on being ready. So, like, ready. Doesn't mean you have to get off the bus. I don't control when you want to get off the bus, right? My job and the value prop for me is to guide you to get off at the right number. But the truth is, the way I've been treating it, people go hire a stranger. They're in a 15-year relationship with me, and then they think, I don't want to have the conversation, so they go hire some random stranger or invite the buyer in to value it, which is more commonly. I mean, think about the sheer craziness of that. That would be like, again, the buyer determining the value. This is not a good idea. So I want to start just getting you to see in your own personal thinking, is there something you've been thinking? Maybe thinking, I'm never going to sell the practice. I'm never going to sell it to private equity. I'm never going to stick around. What have you created in your head that is causing you to avoid committing to increasing the value of the practice? And look, I'm 100% guilty of not giving you the tools. And so I'm going to give you the tools. Like, I'm working on that. And I tell you that because obviously I think a little bit of what I'm thinking is holding you up is just knowing how to do it. So let's assume that we can backfill that information, which is what we're going to be talking about. But you got to start with just the barriers, right? So if you think about this, for years and years, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to get involved in that. But as I've studied the market today, and I have a lot of my clients aging out, and their last move is a bad move. It's just like, oh, you can't let that happen. Because what it does is that would be like buying a house, letting it run down, and then sell it as a fixer-upper, which, by the way, you see that all the time. I look at real estate all the time, and you can tell somebody died in that house, and the furniture looks like it and everything, and they're selling it cheap, and the person who buys it, comes in, fixes it up, is going to do great. But you got to have imagination. So this is your wake-up call to think about spending a higher portion of your net worth time on studying values, coming up with a goal that is way bigger than you thought, meaning your goal right now may be, well, I'll just sell it for whatever they say it's worth. That's also not very smart. We should value it. We should spend years making it more valuable, and we should make it sale ready at any given time. So when you want to get off that bus, you can get off the bus. But you know that you got the right number, and you know that those last 5, 10, 7 years or whatever, you maximized your value. So that, my friend, is what we are going to do. Until the next time. Bye.